State Give and Take. My name is Bobby Tryon. You're listening to 90.1 FM Community Radio in Chico. North State Give and Take is a show that introduces you, our listeners, and myself to local nonprofits, people doing some things here in town, and interesting people doing interesting things. The shows are pre-recorded. If you miss any of the shows and you'd like to hear more, or you'd like to go back and listen to some of them, you can go to kzfr.org, hit on the program tab, hit on Tuesday, because the show is, of course, Tuesdays at 6, and then go down to North State Give and Take. And there's a list of all the interviews that I've done. So check that out. If you want to share that with a friend, that'd be great. And so let's get on with our interview today. Today I'm going to be talking to Abigail Whitaker from the Northern California Regional Land Trust. So, here we go. Thanks for tuning in to North State Give and Take. Today I'd like to welcome Abigail Whitaker. You're with the Northern California Regional Land Trust.
That's right.
Great. And you are the executive deputy, is that what it's called?
Deputy executive director.
All right. So, you know,
it just means I wear all the hats. Yes.
So, you know, I've definitely heard about land trust. People speak of it. You know, it's something that we've all kind of know exists. But how long has the trust or the organization been? And what is it that you do or are trying to do?
Yeah, so the land trust was actually founded in 1990. We are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. And so our goal is to work across our service region, which is Butte, Glen, and Tehama counties. We work with willing landowners and with public agencies and other aligned nonprofits to voluntarily conserve landscapes permanently. So we focus on conserving prime farmland, open range, and what we like to call wild places. So that includes wetlands, creeks, sections along the river, forest areas, places that we want to preserve as open space or as natural retreats for future generations.
And how do you figure out which ones to approach somebody about?
That is actually a very tricky question. Because we focus on working with landowners who are voluntarily protecting their land, a lot of people actually come to us when they realize that they want to protect their land from development or they want to make sure they can hand it down to their heirs intact. They oftentimes approach us about the benefits of a conservation easement or a planned gift. We do have strategies and strategic planning efforts where we're working on identifying really key areas of the landscape that we would like to see better protected from future development. There's two sides. We're working from both angles, but I will say that in recent years, we've been kept pretty busy just by folks who are reaching out to us, wanting to undertake some kind of land protection activities.
So can you give me or tell me a few areas that you've been able to do that? You know, a particular place that is protected?
Yeah, I think as far as a specific property or kind of an area that we're...
Well, either way, an area, you know, where you've had some success.
Yeah, so we work a lot around the tributaries to the Sacramento River. There's a lot of historic ranching lands and farming lands, depending on where you are in the watershed, along those tributaries, usually ranches more in the foothills, and then down in the kind of river valley bottom, you're going to get your orchards and more traditional kind of prime farmland areas, really, really rich river loams there. So over time, we have been working on kind of prioritizing connecting parcels or getting nearby parcels along those tributary areas. And we're working a lot along Deer Creek right now, where there's obviously a historic steelhead and Chinook runs, and we want to protect those kind of free-flowing waterways to ensure that anadromous fish can continue to migrate and spawn there, and that farming activities are protected as well for future generations to enjoy that scenic landscape and the open spaces they provide.
And so they're designated as a property. If somebody wanted to develop or do something with it, what stops them?
So basically, a conservation easement is a legal process where the land trust is actually acquiring development rights for the land. So the landowner is getting prepaid for their development rights, and by separating those from selling the land itself, they get to keep living on and farming or ranching the land. So it remains a working landscape within kind of the umbrella of a stewardship plan that we develop with them while the easement acquisition is being planned. So the easement allows for them to continue their agricultural activities in most cases, or if it's an open space, it would continue to be managed as an open space. And we are just basically buying the rights to, you know, minerals or water or other aspects of the landscape that mean that if somebody else wanted to buy it in future, they would basically be inheriting the terms of this conservation easement as well. So any future owners of the land, which can be bought and sold freely, they will all have the same restrictions on development. It moves with the land, not with the landowner.
I see. How big of an organization is? Do you have is it NCRLS? How do you have an acronym?
NCRLT is the acronym that we use, although it's still a mouthful. I'm not sure if it really abbreviates very much. Just have been saddled with a big name. We're kind of small but mighty. We have 2 full-time staff, 3 part-time staff. But over the last 30 years, we've succeeded in protecting over 30,000 acres in our service region, and we're really proud of that, and proud that a lot of those farming and ranching families will get to stay on their land and get to hand that down in a financially sustainable way to future generations.
How much land have you saved?
Over 30,000 right now, and this fiscal year, we're going to be adding around 7,000 additional acres. So
it makes me feel good about the landowners that are willing to participate. I know how people are when you put a lien or do something with their property.
Definitely. And it is something that we encourage landowners to think about very seriously and to get, you know, legal and financial advice about before they undertake, because it is a permanent change to the land. And we certainly don't want folks to have regrets, but the landowners that we do work with, we consider our partners, that really we're working with them to help ensure that their land is stewarded responsibly in perpetuity.
And how did someone come up with such an idea back in 1990? I mean, what a good idea, but how did they say, hey, let's do this?
Yeah, so land trusts as a structure have been around for many, many years. Ours was certainly not the oldest in our region, as I understand it. It was actually a group of local residents who realized that the North State was really growing up quickly around wild places. And they originally organized this as kind of a coalition, and it was called the Parks and Preserves Foundation. And over the years, the service area has changed from kind of the vicinity of Chico and Butte County to eventually include Glenn County and Tehama County. And then eventually the name was changed as well to reflect the kind of growth in scope. We now cover, it's around 6,000 square miles stretching from the western slope of kind of the Sierra Cascade foothills across the valley and then up onto the eastern slope of the North Coast Range.
Wow. And do you have volunteers that work with you?
Currently, we don't. The Land Trust has been in the midst of kind of some reorganization and restructuring over the last couple of years. And so we had kind of reduced down to sort of the essential functions, keep things moving forward. And we're definitely in the process of kind of rebuilding and updating our logo, updating our website, and really starting to reach more out into the community again. And we would love to develop a volunteer corps in future, particularly to manage our 600-acre preserve along Lower Deer Creek Falls. We see that as a property that it would be really wonderful to start developing more, I should say, higher quality public access to. It is technically public access is allowed, but it's not really developed. There aren't formal trails or places to sit or to eat. And we would definitely love to use that more strategically for outdoor education and for allowing people who are looking for wild places to get out into, especially now during COVID, to be able to access that site and recreate there.
And do you have some places now that are accessible and, set up for people go to them?
The Lower Deer Creek Falls property is the primary one right now. It's just not very well developed. It's very rustic. There's no amenities there. We are actually in the process of working with partners at Cal Fish and Wildlife to install some interpretive nature signs mm-hmm. there right now, but it definitely needs more work on the trail development side. Okay. So that's kind of a work in progress. We do have several other properties that we're in the process of acquiring or have recently acquired that we are in a planning process to potentially open up public access on in future, but that would probably be a couple of years out at this point. We are also collaborating with some other local organizations to develop recreational trails on Colby Mountain outside of Jonesville. Those wouldn't actually be under a conservation easement. They're already on public land in the Lassen National Forest, but we do recognize the need for more recreational trails in our area and are really excited to be working with the Butte County RCD and Chico Velo and other partners to help advance that project.
And the Deer Creek site, can people go there now?
They can. Yeah, it's a rustic dirt road. You'd have to know where it is, and it's walk-in access, but people do fish there, and there's some day use. It's just pretty informal. You kind of have to walk around the cattle gate there and walk down to the creek, but it's really beautiful section of the creek there, and you're pretty close to the fish ladder, and so you will get some salmon runs there if you hit the timing right.
And where does someone park if they were to go?
There is some parking alongside the dirt road. It's, okay. Again, not very well developed. That's part of what we're working on. We actually inherited that property. It was in trust with another organization. They passed it to us. And so while it technically is deeded for public access, it just has never really been invested in. And that's mm-hmm. something that we're working to improve.
And how do you get there?
I would have to pull it up on a map. The easiest access is off of K-Line Road, but it's a pretty rural location. Let's put it that way.
It's off of K-Line Road?
Yes.
So someone could Google K-Line?
That would probably be the most direct access.
Okay. And you spell K-Line by?
I believe it's actually just the letter K-Line.
And then if they went to K-Line Road, is there any indication of where the dirt road is they're going to walk on? Could they find it?
So we just recently installed some signs on our gate, although we have had issues historically with trespass and vandalism. And so I don't know if the signs will last very long. Again, that's part of us kind of inheriting this and needing to invest more in improving the property for, well-organized public access and getting a volunteer corps together to, help preserve the values there and to develop new, new trail systems, benches, interpretive signs, whatever that's going to look like for the future, so that people can recreate there well.
But you're okay with people going there now?
People are going there now, and we're certainly not trying to stop it. We would like people to stop cutting the lock on the gate, but that's an evolving situation. And again, we're working on better signage so that people have a sense of who owns it, what the formal rules are for use of that public area. It is a historic fishing spot. I know a lot of locals have been going there for generations, and we certainly are not trying to stop people from using it for that. There have been some issues with people ripping around with all-terrain vehicles and parties and cutting down trees. And those are the kinds of things we definitely want to prevent. So it's finding that fine line.
We've been listening to a pre-recorded interview with Abigail Whitaker from the Northern California Regional Land Trust. And we'll take a small break right now and return with more conversation. Let's continue our interview with Abigail Whitaker from the Northern California Regional Land Trust on KCFR 90.1 FM. And this is North State Give and Take. And I'm Bobby Tryon.
How are you funded? So the majority of our work on easements is kind of funded in combination. Our initial work on an easement is usually funded by the landowner who would like to do the conservation easement. And we are kind of working as a consultant for them to help them get the property to the point where we can approach a public agency to actually fund the acquisition of the easement. So there's kind of this little consulting period at the beginning where we're providing professional services. Then once an agency has stepped up and said, yes, we want to, you know, protect this property and the values on it in perpetuity, the agency will usually be using public dollars to fund the actual escrow process for the transfer of the easement, and then the acquisition funds go back to the landowner. So they pay the consulting fees up front, but then the easement itself is a purchase because it's land rights. So the agency is buying from the landowner essentially those development rights. Often comes out to around 30 to 50% of the appraised land value, minus any developments on the property. So the land trust isn't making money off an acquisition. We're just kind of the facilitator, and then we become the holder of the easement in perpetuity, and there's usually an endowment fund established for each property to ensure that we can continue to monitor the conditions and provide stewardship support. Forever, essentially.
Uh-huh. And give me an example of some of the agencies that might be involved in collaborating with you.
Yeah, so we work closely with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS, the Wildlife Conservation Board, WCB, and Department of Conservation, DOC. I would say those are probably our three most common partners, although we've also worked with partnerships involving Cal Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Nature Conservancy sometimes has partnership projects. So there's a whole kind of spectrum of players working in this space, but I'd say those three agencies are probably our most common funders for the types of properties we're trying to protect.
Mm-hmm. So you're always in communication with each other and looking for possible properties.
Yeah, we generally, we kind of facilitate what we call the intake process. So getting to know landowners, finding out about the land, getting the background, putting together kind of a package, and then we approach our agency partners depending on the resources on the land and who we feel like it might be the best fit for their portfolio. We do also receive basically private donations that help to support our work kind of overall, but the kind of meat and potatoes of land conservation is usually something that's funded collaboratively between the landowner and public agencies who are interested in acquiring those development rights. We're really, really grateful for those partnerships. And you're right, it is kind of an invisible and often misunderstood process, but it means that, you know, all of us, regardless of whether it was our property or not, we still get to enjoy the fact that that's going to be open sky and open land for, you know, forever. And that helps to maintain the character of the North State that I think a lot of people love about living here.
And you have a website, which is probably NCRLT.
No, it is landconservation.org. We're really recognizing the need to have a better public presence digitally because people are looking for, you know, places to recreate and things to do, especially right now, and places to take their kids and stay-at-home activities, you know, about nature or whatever. And we are working to try and meet some of those needs.
Good. And can people donate there? Is there a way to?
They can. There's a donation link. We actually are one of the portfolio funds at the North Valley Community Foundation. So the link will take you there. We do have a PayPal donation capacity as well. That's not up on our old website yet. That will be on our new website.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I hope that what this does is just sort of educate people on the organization and help them and have them realize what you're doing so that when they hear about it, they go, yes, and they feel supportive of it.
No, we would love to be more engaged with the community again as we're kind of in this rebuilding phase. We're definitely looking for, you know, public input and feedback about how we could better serve our community. And we realized that a lot of the people living in the communities that we serve may not be large landowners. They may not be in a position to negotiate an easement, but maybe they're looking for outdoor education opportunities or farm-to-table dinner type events or trail work days or new places to recreate. And we are working on rebuilding our portfolio to be able to offer more of those kinds of events that are celebrating land and new recreational opportunities going into the future.
So if someone was listening today and they said, oh, now this is something that I might be interested in if they have property or if they think they might like to get involved, how would they do that?
There's a contact form and an email address on our website. That's probably the easiest way to reach out to us, or by phone. And yeah, we're always open to talking to people about opportunities to conserve their land. And there are other land trusts that have overlapping or adjacent service areas to ours. So even if we aren't positioned to help someone, oftentimes we can help connect them with other resources to undertake the protection or the conservation type activities that they're interested in. Our phone number is... I don't know this off the top of my head because I never call our office. I'm sorry.
Of course.
It is 530-894-7738.
Okay.
And you can email us at info@landconservation.org.
If anyone has some questions about what we talked about today, just give the office a call or at least look on the website, which is landconservation.org. I'm glad to hear about it, and it just makes me feel more connected. When I hear land trust, I can go, yes, I know what that is.
No, that's wonderful. And we do really see ourselves as embedded in the community, and we want other people to feel that too. And we want people to feel like our service is directly benefiting them. So
yes.
We're very open to, you know, that's a give and take conversation, honestly.
Yeah. Yes. How did you get involved in it?
I majored in environmental science and economics at Chico State. I was born and raised in this area and traveled for a while, worked other places, but I've been involved in conservation and environmental science and consulting and agriculture for more than 10 years now, up and down the West Coast and a little bit abroad. And So coming back to Chico a few years ago to be closer to family and then getting involved with the land trust was really kind of a dream come true, because I get to take all these things that, you know, I'm passionate about and actually be working in the community I was born and raised in to help people here to protect the things we love about this area.
And that's the kind of person you want to have at the helm of such an organization. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. And just the connection of the community. You know, people do come back to Chico, don't they?
We do. We're all the boomerang kids.
I know. I have two of them too. They went away and came back.
Yep. I couldn't wait to see the rest of the world and ended up back here. So
I know. Well, it's a pretty great place. And what you're doing makes it even better. So I appreciate you. And I'm sure that people listening do too.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today and look forward to, you know, conversations with other people who'd like to reach out and learn more.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Abigail.
Thank you, Bobby. I really appreciate it.
All right.
You've been listening to a pre-recorded interview with Abigail Whitaker from the Northern California Regional Land Trust. And you can reach them by phone by calling 530-894-7738. You can email them at info@landconservation.org, or you can go to their website for more information at landconservation.org. My name is Bobby Tryon. This show is called North State Give and Take. You can see other shows that I've done by going to the website at kzfr.org. Click on Programs, click on Tuesdays, and you can see other programs that have been on North State Give and Take. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.